Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Well, it's the taking of the Pelham 1-2-3. If you want a ramble rhyme, then come see me. I've got more podcasts than I've got brown hairs, and that's a lot because I got my share. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble.
An entire share of some hair.
And there's enough to go around for there all, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to us. It's me, Marcus, and Pete's here.
I'm here, hello.
Lukey M.
All right.
Jimmy C.
Hello.
Come follow me. Now then, Sir Alex Ferguson was pictured recently having a jolly up with some former Manchester United stars like Brian Robson and comedian Russ Abbott.
Not bring a former Manchester United star.
Bring him back the 90s. Remember when we were good?
Yeah, Russ Abbott's 80s, isn't he?
He's all decades.
He's late 80s, yeah,
he's enduring.
I just remember that woman who dressed up like the Viking, the big lass.
Oh, right, remember? Yeah, I do remember. I can't remember her name.
Was Russ Abbott dressed like a Mountie?
He might have been.
Or a punk rocker.
One of his sketches, he dresses like a really archetypal Scotsman with a kilt and the ginger.
Yeah, that's right. CU Jimmy, wasn't it?
Do you think a young Russ Abbott looks a bit like Joe Hart?
And who? Yes, I do. Yeah, and who can forget Basildon Bond?
I can.
I remember Basildon.
That was like his sort of like parody James Bond type character.
Oh, is that right?
Jesus.
I have forgot that, and it's to my detriment.
I used to love Russ Abbott.
Well, if you could organise some sort of party for Sir Alex Ferguson, who would you invite, Pete?
Actually, thinking about it, Luke was criticising me for mentioning Terminator.
No, it was RoboCop, wasn't it?
Oh, it was RoboCop, yeah.
You're going to get RoboCop involved.
Alex Ferguson mentioned it, not me. He's the one who invited Russ Abbott along. We can't not talk about
it.
We can easily not mention that.
You were talking about Basildon Bond.
What else are you
going to
talk
parody?
About football? I've got nothing here.
Better than Basildon Boy.
Yeah.
Now, the little joke there, ladies and gentlemen.
And we all know it's not better.
Yeah. What's this, a dinner party and we all get an invite?
Yeah, why not?
No, we all get to invite a person.
Yeah, you all got a plus one.
Okay, right.
Pete, who are you bringing?
I would bring the Cuban recording artist Armando Christian Perez.
Pitbull.
Because I just think we'd have a lovely time.
I don't understand why this is funny.
Just picture it. Why would it not be funny?
Me and Pitbull holding hands. Yeah. I'm teaching him how to use the right knife.
Yeah. Strangely, you and Pitbull would have the most in common. Fergie would be just all at sea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm inviting Roy Keane. Yeah. So this is a very aggressive dinner party.
Stick up your Pitbulls.
Would Ferguson swing his butt round and round, and at the end of the night, would it go down for Pitbull?
Who knows?
Yeah.
He's had it, when he's got enough wine in him, who knows?
And he's generally got enough wine in him, so looking likely, isn't it?
So we've got Pitbull and Roy Keane.
Yeah, I'll go and Roy Keane, chiefly because I think, as I've said before on the show, it's perfect they now hate each other. It's the in many ways the classic literary protagonist-antagonist sort of type relationship. Mm. You know, he's a master nemesis. Mm.
And he wouldn't be polite if he met him. That's the great thing about Keane.
Exactly. In another world, it'll be superhero, supervillain. You can choose which one's which. At a dinner party, I'd like to... What I would do is I set it up to Roy Keane and say, look, Ferguson's having a dinner party. He wants to bury the hatchet, you know. So why don't you be the big man and come along.
Yeah.
And then I'll say to Ferguson, I'm bringing Roy Keane. He really wants to bury the hatchet. Yeah. Why don't you play the big man, let him come along. And then just watch him go. The fireworks go.
Yeah, absolutely.
This sort of dinner party would remind me of like Malcolm Tucker when he gets fired and he has that dinner party with all the journalists and stuff.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Pitbull's in.
And Pitbull's there with me talking about the foxy lass as we've copped off with.
copped
well, he's talking
off.
About
I don't think Pitbull talks about copping listening. Off with anyone.
I've gone, Pitbull, yeah. Tell me more.
Pitbull's talking, Pete's listening.
Yeah, indeed. Pete's learning.
Learning all the wrong lessons.
How'd you get off of Lass's Pitbull?
Jim, have you ever gone steady with a girl?
What base have you been to, Pitbull?
Pitbull's at the end just going, I don't understand, word you just said.
Have you ever grabbed them from over the top of our blouse? Pitbull.
Okay, so my guest, I would make my guest a host, actually. I would take this out of Ferguson's house. It's not you. Oh. You'd be there, though, because we'd all be there for this if we're making it up. I'd make it like a sort of come dine with me special as well, nice, unbeknownst to anyone but the host. And that host would be a man who, you know, we know is a big Man United fan and also has a lot of football luminaries amongst his friends, and that would be Mick Hucknall. Mick Hucknall would have to cook for everyone and keep the peace. And he's got Ferguson and Keane, and now they hate each other. He's got the unknown quantity that is Pitbull. Yeah. And it's going to be a nightmare for him.
No singing.
He's too busy for singing.
No, he'd be cooking.
Pitbull's
rolling
doing the singing.
Back the foil on the chicken.
Hucknall's a big Man
United
fan.
Started.
Yeah, it's an excellent shout. I'd probably go for Mike Phelan.
He could talk to Keane for Ferguson.
Well, it's just, you know, it's Ferguson.
He's got nothing on anyway.
He's served Ferguson for many years.
In Ferguson's second autobiography, he refers to him as Mick Phelan.
Mickey Phelan?
Yeah. Mick more than a Phelan.
No, actually, I probably.
If it was a darts player, that would definitely be his name.
And you come on to that. More than a Phelan. No, it's just me. There's nothing more. It's just me.
There is a lot of me, though, because I've been into
Victoria
darts for a
Beckham?
While.
He hated Victoria Beckham, didn't he?
I'm not sure that's true. I don't know about that.
Is
maybe.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Said Pitbull.
I think Pete's,
from the corner,
Pete's
confused.
Got the points, isn't he?
Yeah, you mean Pitbull.
Can I draw a line under Pitbull now, just for the benefit of the listeners? Just for the benefit of the listeners. For the rest of the show. Stick a bit of Pitbull at the end of the show if you want. Yeah. I'm gone.
But fine.
For now.
Jim, you love dogs, don't you?
I do, especially rapping Cuban dogs. Yeah. All over that.
Pitbull, it's my talk.
So there we are. Premier League. Let's go straight to Newcastle United versus Manchester City.
Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt.
Quote of the century, that, isn't it? It's incredible.
Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt.
Pardew said it, so we're allowed to say.
Yeah, exactly. We're just quoting him.
easily. Torso, head and shoulders, the best part of my weekend seeing that.
And you're on Match of the Day as well.
Apparently so. Oh, no, I was, yeah.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
Oh, dear. It's just sensational. Sensational. Alan Pardew. He's only 8 years older than him, Pellegrini.
The great thing
noisy,
about...
though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not really. No. Have you ever...
Doesn't strike me as either noisy or old.
Pellegrini's never been noisy.
He always looks caned.
Even at a Pitbull gig, he wouldn't be noisy.
There's been a line drawn under that.
Oh, sorry.
I like that Pardew, he sort of does it. He very cyclically does... stupid stuff that makes him out to be a terrible individual on quite a consistent basis, every 8 weeks or so.
Which would suggest something, wouldn't it?
He's like, remember when he pushed the, was it the fourth officially pushed?
It's like he's got a different personality for each alleged phone.
Right, indeed. But I thought that was, very funny because I saw that actually happen. And I thought, I couldn't work out what he'd said first, but obviously I recognised the second bit.
So good.
The problem with Pardew is he makes everything personal. Yeah. He's got such a big ego that he takes everything personally.
And he does that smile with his new teeth and sort of tries to laugh everything off. And it's like, no, hang on a minute, that's a really low quality thing to do.
Yeah, it's really, really poor.
You can't
poor,
laugh that off. Yeah, you can't smile that off.
Can you imagine how embarrassed he feels now? You know when you do something a bit stupid and you think back to it the next day and you just sort of go, oh God, and your very being feels uncomfortable. The last few days would have been like that for poor Alan Pardew.
I've been in nightclubs drunk shouting, you're more experienced than that, going down the tunnel in the nightclub.
I didn't understand a word of that.
He did apologise, Pardew.
Yeah, but he also called him an old cunt. So, you know...
Worth reiterating as much as possible, I think.
But, I mean, a lot of... I think TalkSport were trying to whip everyone up into a frenzy saying that Newcastle United the most hated fans in the league.
Oh, come on.
And it's just kind of like...
That's ridiculous.
Like,
what's that got to do with a fan?
As I was saying to Luke before, like, I think I would like to, support an unlikable club. Successive managers, successive chairmen have kind of traded off this kind of blarney of, Bobby Robson and stuff. They're everyone's second favourite team. Fuck it. Let's start winning stuff. Let's be hated.
Yeah. You'd probably hated first. Yeah, it'd be an easier achievement.
And you didn't actually win.
Yeah, I know. Let's be hated. Let's hurt Sami Nasri.
I thought that Newcastle completely lost their heads, like after that goal was disallowed. Which
they almost seemed to like stop trying. It's like they wanted to take their ball and go home.
It all got a bit
and
Joey Barton.
Swear at old men.
Yeah, they did, and also. It can obviously permeate to the crowd and through to the manager and everything. It was really unfortunate for Newcastle because I think they were probably worthy of a point.
I thought it got the fans going. I thought 1-1 with Newcastle down to 10 men. I think would have been a fair result in the end. And they had the chances, couldn't take them.
Newcastle, they should have had players sent off. Kabay should have had about 6 yellows. Mm. I can't believe he stayed in the pitch.
Yeah, Anita was being kicked on the bloody pitch as well. So before Torrey went off, Torrey was putting the boot in every now and again.
One should have gone.
Oh, Yanga and Biwa.
They must have been winding each other up throughout the game because that was clearly calculated. That's not a foul. He's just done him there. Yeah. He's just taken him out. He's done him with one leg and then like finished him off with the other one.
Yeah. Nasri's dad said it's like a
big stapler.
He said it was like a razor or a pair of scissors. Yeah. It's like, and you can't do that to a footballer because that's his trade, his legs. That's what he trades on.
But how has the referee seen that and given the yellow? Because surely he's either given a red, because that's literally the rules. He's kicked him off the ball, or he's not
twice.
Seen it. Or he's not seen it.
But he could have booked him for the first one and sent him off for the second one.
Genuinely, the officiating in that match, but even before the disallowed goal, was terrible. Manchester City were called offside twice when they weren't offside, and they were clear on goal. Mm. It was only because Tim Clough managed to clear it in the end.
It was at least consistent.
It was consistently awful every single time.
I didn't think the day overall was a very good one for the officials, to be honest.
No. The disallowed goal was clearly a goal, and I think Luke will agree in particular. It's just another reason that we need technology on stuff like this.
I agree with that. I think that actually, the devil's advocate here, the referee is within his rights to disallow that goal if he considers Gouffran to be interfering with play. Mm. And he could, from his angle, have thought. And I know that
he's in Joe Hart's eye line.
But yeah. I actually think he disallowed because he thought it took a deflection off a Newcastle player when it actually took a deflection off Di Michaelis. Mm. But you could still argue. I mean, Hart's not stopping that. It's a great fit. It's a great hit. Hart's not stopping it. He didn't even move. But Gouffran was arguably interfering with play. So you could have. I mean, that said, the linesman didn't flag or anything, did he? So it's a strange one. But it's not completely ridiculous. I thought it was at the start when I first saw it. But I think people are getting sentimental because it was such a good goal.
I think people are getting sentimental is because we see Cheikh try that about 5 times a match and he's done it once before.
Apparently the one he scored against Arsenal, it was quite similar that somebody was offside and...
That one was incorrectly given.
It was Peter Armcrantz's on the line, noise, pretty Jim. Much.
I actually, when I first saw the goal, I thought it was correctly ruled.
Right.
Now, I really did.
Did you think it had a deflection as well?
No, I thought he was interfering with play.
Right.
And it was until I saw it a few times and heard a bit of the chat, and I thought, actually, yeah, probably should have been.
If the authorities want to get, and presumably they do want this, want to get the pressure off of referees and off officials, they need to make the laws clear. Mm. The way to take pressure off referees is to take away their opportunity to interpret the rules. Mm. The laws, sorry. If that is just a straight offside, and the laws are clear, then the referee can just say, well, it's the laws. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, he interprets that law as he sees fit, and he's going to take stick from one side or the other when he does that.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, that is a problem, but I mean, it was a good win for Manchester City.
But it was a good win for Manchester City. It's not difficult to see why Newcastle lost their heads when their manager behaves like he did.
But I would argue that Manchester City's performance, certainly first half, was, late first half, I think it was the most disjointed Manchester City performance I've seen in a very, very long time.
I think
there were so many misplaced passes. They couldn't seem to get out of their own kind of full-back position. It was weird. I'd never seen Manchester City play so badly this season. I know they're not that good on the road and stuff, but I thought Newcastle
didn't let them play so much.
Newcastle counter attack. I thought Anita was brilliant. I really enjoyed watching him.
He had to sacrifice some minutes to try and push forward.
Williamson claimed like more headers, I think, than the back two of Man City combined, which I think was really telling. Not that we'd put a lot of high balls in, which means that we're a little bit more successful.
And Newcastle had more possession and had as many shots as Man City, pretty much. It was there for the taking. They could have got a point, definitely.
Joe Hart played a big part. As always, seems to be back in form.
Yeah, he did. He made a couple of good saves, didn't he? Absolutely. Mm.
Newcastle looking like they're going to sell Jonas Gutierrez to Norwich.
They've loaned him to Norwich.
He's in the shirt, Marcus.
Is he? It's a shame, is it, Pete?
He's kind of too expensive to be a... his wages are way too expensive to be like a substitute, really. He's too pricey. And that's the only way they're going to be able to bring people in, so...
I love the thought of him at Norwich. It's just a beautiful combination. the Spider-Man guy at Norwich. It's just lovely.
It's a good sign for Norwich because they'll give him... He's got... a lot of Premier League experience and a lot of international experience as well.
So. He's very versatile.
Yeah,
you know, one of his best positions is left back. Hmm. Just ask El Diego.
Just ask El Diego. He's always there for
a comment.
I'd
love to. Yeah.
Got nothing on. Quite literally. And he's out.
One team from the North East did win on the weekend quite spectacularly. It was away to Fulham 4-1. I was there.
Mm. We saw
match of the day.
Yeah, I went to see my local club play.
Why were you so low down? I always sort of wonder why. Are you basically in a dugout?
Yeah, pretty much. Curious. Yeah, I was right in the front row. That was all the tickets that were left. Because according to Esquire magazine, we buy our own tickets. We do.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. When we have to.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Adidas, are you listening? Yeah. Marcus, how was the game? I didn't see any of it.
I was thinking to myself when Walcott got the injury, and I thought, well, what are the wide options for England? And after that, I thought, well, Adam Johnson's not an awful suggestion if he can keep playing. I mean, he's got the ability, certainly.
That's been his problem, though, isn't it? It's the consistency.
Yeah.
It's really lacking.
But he had
he's in a good patch.
He had a great afternoon then. This is the worrying thing for Fulham. They didn't actually play that bad. They looked... This sounds ridiculous, but when the goals weren't going in their end, they looked like more of the better side. They looked like they had more pressure. They had more.
Stockton didn't play very well, did he? From all accounts,
he did okay. I mean, he might have done better with the free kick.
Yeah,
but there was no sort of howlers or anything like
right,
that.
Okay.
I think Berbatov kind of slows the play down a little bit too
much. You reckon?
No, too much though. It sort of hinders the side a bit. I mean, the fullbacks like to get forward, whip a few balls in. You've got two workmen like midfielders with Sidwell and Parker who put a shift in. Tara, at least when he gets the ball, he does tend to move it around quite quickly, so I wouldn't be surprised if Berbatov went, and I think that would probably be a good move all round. I mean, I know he can produce something out of nothing, but he just hasn't really this season.
Yeah.
And if he's not doing that, then you do wonder. I mean, not being disrespectful, he's a wonderful player, don't get me wrong, but perhaps he is maybe a little bit too good. I don't know if that's the right... His style maybe doesn't suit them so much.
Yeah, I think that... I take your Adam Johnson point. Like I said, I didn't see the game, but, I mean, a hat-trick speaks for itself, obviously. And he absolutely should be focusing on trying to get into that World Cup squad because, why not?
England don't have a left-footed attacking player, apart from Sturridge, but who will play in the centre off the top of my head.
Yeah, OK. I think that Adam Johnson's a curious one because I think... I've interviewed him, and I interviewed him when he was at Man City, and I was up at City for the day. And it's quite interesting, the dynamic. He's obviously quite a quiet lad, and he's... I don't know him well, but or anything like that, but he seems to be... Strikes me as someone who's a bit of a confidence player. He's very... He's in his shell quite a lot. And when you see players in their... In their natural environment, chatting around and waiting for interviews and all this other stuff, you can tell which ones are the dominant personalities, you know. So when I was there, in my case, it was... On that particular day, it was Lescott and company were very sort of loud and chatty and stuff, and quite... I suppose having a laugh, whereas people like Milner and Johnson are very quiet. So you can see why Johnson perhaps maybe got crowded out of City just by not being that confident, not being that vocal, and maybe struggling for confidence a bit because he's not playing enough. The best thing for him would be to play a consistent run of games. And also, when you're a winger, it's very easy for you to be on the periphery of a side that aren't doing particularly well. You know, it's tempting for a team or a manager to play hard-working players. You know, players are going to dig them out of a hole when they're down the bottom of the table, because sometimes wingers get, well, sometimes fairly, but sometimes unfairly, sort of pillory for not maybe tracking back and not mucking in and that sort
of
thing.
But he was doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Mancini banged on about that when he was at City. I thought Mancini sometimes unfairly dug him out in front of the media.
We had a bit of a habit.
He did that a lot, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a habit of that.
And as you say, if you're a dominant personality, you tend to let that brush off and you get on with it. But if you're a confidence player, that's going to annoy you a little bit. But everything, or most of the things they did well, it came through him down that right side. He was an inverted winger. And Sunderland, I mean, for goodness sake, they've scored 4 goals away from home. You know, you can't argue with that. I mean, any club's pleased with that, especially the bottom of the league side. The worrying thing for Fulham is...
Four goals.
Well, I would still say they were a better side than Sunderland, and I still think they probably got a few better players and whatnot. I'd say Sunderland probably better 2 centre-backs, But they've lost 4-1.
Yeah,
and you think, okay, well,
it's
there's,
a, habit of being,
there's a set piece. There was another one that was questionable that was played in. You've lost at home to the bottom of the league.
Yeah,
side.
What matches are you hoping to win then if you can't win against someone?
Exactly.
You know, where are you going to get pick up your points?
And they could be the side, the classic side of no, they've got too many good players to go down. Well, do they?
I really don't think they do. I think Fulham are pretty much nailed on. It could be. It could be Palace, Fulham and West Ham go down. Imagine that, three London sides disappear.
Well, suddenly they've got a couple of winnable games coming out. They're at home to Southampton, at home to Stoke. And they've got the... I think they played Man United in between that. Mm. But they've got the derby after that.
Yeah.
Away at Newcastle. So they've got some winnable games. I mean, so they could drag themselves out of it. And there's still a lot of football to be played. So
yeah, absolutely.
But Fulham have got to be careful. I mean, that whole Martin Yole attitude, which I know he's gone now, but that whole Martin Yole attitude of, oh, we'll be fine.
It seems to be persistent, isn't it?
Not
really had a boost from the new manager.
Exactly. Muhlenstein's certainly, like I said last week, and I think probably the week before, he's saying all the right things in the media, but you can see his frustration that he doesn't seem to be able to turn it around for because he said, you know, just because we've won a couple of games, had a couple of positive results, doesn't mean to say that it's all hunky dory. And maybe that is the sort of the legacy that Yole's left there.
They've got the worst goal difference in the division as well, which tells its own story.
That does indeed. I mean, they've got Ray Wilkins as number two to try and sort it out. They've got Alan Kerbridge. They brought in everybody.
Yeah.
Get Keegan back.
Get Keegan back. That is
in
the answer.
Some role.
So yeah, poor result for Fulham, but. You know, always nice to go to the cottage. Mm. Always nice to go to the cottage.
It'd be cheaper next season, wouldn't it? When you
when Fulham are down there. West Ham beat Cardiff 2-0 away. Great win for the Hammers.
Yeah.
And big Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
We saw him.
Yeah.
He's taking a claim for Brazil.
He looks like he's been living in the woods, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Great.
Big beard.
Training like Rocky does for the fight with Ivan Drago.
Picking up an assist as he goes.
I think that that was a really surprising performance from West Ham. They deserve a lot of credit.
Well, that's the performance that their fans have been asking for a number of weeks.
They looked quite up for it, didn't they?
Yeah, they got some bookings, like we moaned about that they didn't against Manchester City. They looked up for the fight. And, OK, they've won, so we can say all this. But say if they'd lost 2-0. You'd still say, well, at least they were getting stuck in. Mm. It was the two cup games that were so abject.
Well, it's they've hit rock bottom in a way that it could be a lot worse for them. You know, at least they've not lost any points in the league, which has to be their priority, obviously. So, you know, this really obviously motivated them. And they showed real fight as well. They just weren't as sloppy. They looked, as you say, they looked more motivated.
The difference between them and Fulham is if West Ham played badly, their fans let them know.
Mm. Yeah.
Quite... enormously.
And it might just be a case of that they're away from home. They weren't under an awful lot of pressure because they weren't at Upton Park. Mm-hmm. Whereas you said, the fans can get on their back from time to time. Andy Carroll's a big boost. Well, I know he's not a magnificent player or anything, but he's become quite symbolic, hasn't he? And so I imagine when he came back, and maybe even the players thought, well, this is actually a big bonus for us. And he did do his usual thing, and he did sort of hit the ground running. And
he gets such harsh criticism, Andy Carroll. He never put that price tag on his own.
Absolutely, but he's criticised for sort of not being a £35 million player and not having those silky skills. It's not what he's going to do.
This also isn't his fault, but this is absolutely the case, that you have a certain players, when they get injured at a certain time, a right time in terms of their reputation, they become more respected and almost talked about as better than they are in their absence. Mm. So it happened with Tom Cleverley, happened with Gareth Barry before the World Cup. It happened with Kieran Dyer a couple of times, actually.
But before a World Cup as well.
But Dyer's been injured so often that everyone just probably doesn't...
Yeah.
By the end of his career, no one really knew if he's any good or not, because he never really played. But Andy Carroll, everyone has just been falling into that trap, I think, of thinking, well, when Andy Carroll comes back, we'll be fine. Mm. But Andy Carroll's not a 25-goal season striker.
No, absolutely not.
You know, so it really is more of a psychological thing. And
To be fair to Carroll, though, he brings players in. So he might not score all those 25 goals himself, but he's going to have a hand in other people's scoring.
He's a good player, and I think he'll improve.
He's the best forward at that club.
Yeah, he'll improve.
And if he's fit and he scores 7 to 10 goals now until the summer, he'll probably go to Brazil.
Well, look at that.
He probably will.
The header he scored for England that we saw.
It was magnificent.
A glorious header.
Yeah.
He causes chaos in the box, doesn't he? Defenders panic. Well, that's what West Ham need.
You know, yeah, West Ham and England are not ticky-tacka sides. They're far from it. And a player like Carroll, and it's no disgrace. You know, football, sometimes you do need a target man. You whip a cross in. You've got players like Jarvis and Downing who can usually deliver a cross.
When they feel like it.
I think it's... But he wasn't just the only one who played. He only came on at the end. Mark Noble had a magnificent 90 minutes. And it was good for him to get the second. And West Ham, you could see the jubilation on the bench. They all went crazy.
It was like they won the league or something.
Yeah, and that's really encouraging for
them. You can see it's just instilled belief.
Yes.
And they've needed that so badly that they'd almost forgotten that they could play.
Yeah. Have you seen that they're trying to bring in Lassina Traore from Monaco on loan?
Yes.
Yeah, 6'8".
Yeah, big fella. The Mark Noble thing's interesting because he's getting to that point in his career now, Noble, where he needs to start putting consistent shifts in. I mean, he's too inconsistent in the middle.
He can be a great player for them.
But when you're 26, when you're getting into sort of mid to late 20s, you're 26, you're experienced enough, you've played enough football, you need to start taking games by the scruff of the neck if you're good enough. Mm. And there's been performances from Noble this season which haven't been anywhere near. He's been anonymous.
Yeah.
And he needs to play more like he did away to Cardiff, throw the shackles off and actually take a game by the scruff of the neck, which is what he, I suppose, promised he could do when he was a lot younger. But yeah, he was good against Cardiff, and it was a good win for them because Cardiff had that bump of having Solskjaer in and one of his first games and all that sort of thing. So it could have gone wrong for them. It wasn't an easy win on an easy fixture really before the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice goal from Cole, as we should say. The Hammers are looking at Joni and Lescott. Get him in.
On £90,000 a week.
Yeah,
I think they're just. He's rolling on good money, I suppose. If they want to get hold of him somehow, then they've got to.
They need something big.
Well, I mean, Pellegrini will want to keep Lescott there.
Yeah, well, because if Pellegrini loans him out, he'll probably have to buy another centre-back, so I wonder if they'll be successful in that.
Yeah, but I think that would be a decent...
But for what Man City want to achieve, Lescott's not good enough. So
he's a good backup.
He's a good player for... Yeah, of course, but he's now at the stage of his career and he wants to play all the time.
Well, he should do.
Yeah, of course.
And he's good enough to play consistently for a decent Premier League side.
It might not be a terrible move for him to go there, but I mean, it's going to cost him money because, as you guys have said, he's earning a lot of cash already.
So. Well, and he's currently not in the England squad as well.
I don't think he'll go because I don't think Pellegrini will want to sign a defender now. He's not going to get the sort of defender he wants in the January transfer window, so I think they'll hang on to him.
It's just disappointing that when a player hits, you know, say 25 and he gets a big contract or whatever, it kind of ghettoizes himself a little bit. He can't find another club after that because he's not as good as he was when he was 25, so he doesn't command those kind of wages, but he can't take down.
You just have to kind of
bite the bullet and take the pay cut.
Back to Everton, Joleon. That'd be great.
it's not absolutely out of the question.
No, absolutely.
It's not out of the question that City would let him go. I mean, they've got, presuming all of them are fit, they've got Nastasic in company, they've got Di Michaelis, and they've also got Xavi Garcia who can play there.
But would you want to sort of have a sort of makeshift centre-half when you don't need to sell your backup?
But we've said that clubs like Manchester City and maybe Chelsea and the ones with the real money, that they've obscured the market with regards to wages. Because players think, I mean, with Adebayor and all this, well, hang on a minute, I'm a 90 grand a week player. No, you're not. You just got lucky.
City you are, yeah.
You just got lucky with that
contract. The difficulty Spurs had of getting him and sorting the wages out with City and stuff, exactly.
Yeah. Look at everyone, like, sort of, you know, being really surprised that Defoe's going to Toronto and stuff. He's not good enough for probably the top four clubs in England, but nobody else can afford him. He has to go somewhere that's going to pay him stupid wages.
And he also probably, and rightly, thinks he'll get in the England squad whatever happens. We're rubbish.
Yeah. And, you know, at 31, if you get offered a big contract like that and a chance to go abroad in a quite exciting country, he's going to have a great time.
Good on him. And if Drake asks you to.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Drake's a deal breaker.
Yeah, proper summers over there, don't forget that. So you do reap the reward somewhere in the calendar. Manchester United beat Swansea 2-0. The Swans did have 61% of the possession, which is United's lowest possession figure since Opta started keeping official Premier League stats in 2006.
That's two very sort of skewed factors, though, isn't it, really? Swansea are very good at keeping possession, and Manchester United aren't very good at keeping possession at the moment.
I saw the game, it was there for the taking. Swansea needed to make that first half count. They couldn't do that, and you knew that United were going to come flying out of blocks in the second half because that's exactly what a manager would tell them to do. So look, you've really luck here. You need to get out there. You know, this is Old Trafford. You need to get out there hard, and it worked for them. And obviously they managed to seal it with a second goal. But I thought that was there for the taking.
Do you think we mentioned Kagawa on a previous show? I mean, it's it'd be square pegs and square holes. You know, I mean, he was started out on a more wider position, wasn't he? And Yanazai was in behind Welbeck. And then they switched it over and they looked a bit better. Welbeck, of course, got the second and they won 2-0.
I thought Cagall did okay. When you're one of those sort of players, like the sort of mercurial type, yeah, I think it's so important. I mean, it's important for every position to a certain extent, but it's so important to have a running team, like to pick up the pace of the league you're playing in, to work out the nuances of playing that sort of playmaking position in a different league. Because the way he found space and found last passes and key passes and goals and stuff in Germany isn't going to be the same way he'll find them in the Premier League, because it's a different pace, it's a different environment. And to never play and just come in and out and play half hour every so often, it must be so difficult. And then when you don't perform because you're not given the consistency and the performances that you need, you'll get pilloried, so it's hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more pressure on every pass, isn't there, on every position you take up and absolutely everything you do. If you know that you don't do absolutely the right thing, you might not play for another month. You know, it's going to weigh on your mind.
And do you also think that you also don't have the opportunity to really put a shift in, because that's not your role, so you can't really run yourself into the ground to show that you can have a good game that way, because it's not really your role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently Manchester United are looking to bring in Fabio Contrao on loan. They're really hell-bent on bringing in a left-back, aren't
they? It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, strange. People, about this, Kosovo have been given the all-clear to start a national team, so it looks like Januzaj will not be playing for England anytime
as
soon.
Well,
he
won't. Did.
Not at all. That's not the reason.
I don't think, did they set it up because he might have done?
Yeah, Januzaj was straight on the phone and was like, seriously, we've got to shut this thing up.
Flatterney was like... They're stitching
him. Save him. Save Januzaj.
He was excellent. He was the man of the match for me.
He's been a good player. He's been a good player. What about Stoke City 3, Liverpool 5?
What a game that was. Liverpool are so much fun to watch at the moment.
Yes. Bad defending's brilliant. It really is. I think it could be the greatest World Cup ever. Because if you look at the teams, we've just gone from Stoke-Liverpool, I grant you, to the World Cup.
Yeah.
But we'll be back there in a sec. No teams really, Brazil maybe, Germany maybe, Spain. But no one's got a real great defence in the World Cup. So goals.
So I read an article.
Based on Stoke versus Liverpool, on the weekend, the World Cup's going to be great.
Suarez knows how to score every kind of goal by now.
Yes.
So it's fine. So
he's done all of them.
Because like the Kawawa thing, he's had his time in the Premier League. He knows how to score goals from different places.
Apparently, the amount of goals strikers are scoring in terms of their goal return per appearances hasn't been seen since the very early 60s.
Oh, right.
And people are saying that there might be a golden age of forward play now we're about to be entering.
About time, eh?
Suarez, you're right. I mean, the thing about Suarez is that he's absolutely relentless. But it's not only that he's a brilliant finisher, which he is, and that he's very skillful and all this other stuff.
He works so hard.
Yeah, he doesn't fade out of games at all, does he? He doesn't go missing.
If you watched a 2-second snapshot of Suarez and said to someone, tell me the minute of the game that is, you just wouldn't be able to tell if it's the 89th or the first, because it's not like John Terry, who ages about 10 years every game.
It's a bit harsh to choose Terry over
there. But he looks old. He looks fatigued at the end of a game. Right. Suarez never looks like that. He always... If you, it must be so mentally draining for a defender to know that one mistake you make, you can't even sort of ease off 1% in the last 10 minutes, because if you make a mistake, he will punish you ruthlessly every time.
He just sprints so much. He's so quick. When he harries, it's never half-assed. It is an absolute sprint at a player.
He's hungry, hungry all the time. Yeah.
He looks at, well, and of course he was. Yeah, last season against Chelsea when he...
But yeah, the mistake for the goal, it was, you just knew. Mm. It was just the moment that it looked like there was going to be a mistake player. You just knew it was going to end up in the back of the net.
And
it's phenomenal.
The mental pressure of that.
Yeah.
Of knowing that any mistake you make is definitely 100% going to be punished. It just must be draining.
It would tire you out so much, wouldn't it?
What about Sturridge as well? What an incredible comeback.
Just
full of energy. A brilliant assist for Suarez. And his goal, just class.
Well, how well did he start the season, in Suarez's absence? He was banging the goals in.
One of my favourite chips ever, I think.
He's really encouraging to see him come back, because, I mean, Rodgers also looked like for a period that he found a way of playing them both in the same team. They look so good together.
Mm.
So if that's a sign of things to come, then, well, it's going to be great.
Yeah, no, Liverpool.
Let's do lunch.
Liverpool have been great this season. What about Crouch and Charlie Adams scoring against their old clubs? Then they did celebrate.
Adams' goal was a beauty.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll be celebrating that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but not all of them do. Crouch wouldn't be able to celebrate against anybody, lol.
Why?
Because he's played for loads of teams.
Oh, yeah.
Good one, mate.
Thanks, man. What about Raheem Sterling?
He had a good game.
Is he good enough for World Cup glory with England?
We were discussing this the other day, weren't we? I think he might get Walcott's place.
Ooh.
Well, if he carries on playing, I mean, he looks like he's one of those players. He's so fast that whenever he gets on the ball, he looks like he speeds the whole game up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a rare talent.
As for pass. Liverpool's penalty as well, there's, you know, it's a slight mistake, and then just panic straight away in the back line.
It wasn't a pen, was it?
No.
It's a ridiculous, two ridiculous decisions. One was the handball completely missed. The second was that it wasn't even really a challenge. He was almost like Sterling presented the other end of a challenge to the defender. And the referee, that's a
what
pen.
Do you make of this?
Yeah. If you fouled me, I would fall something like this. Penalty.
And Raheem Sterling does talk like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. There was a penalty at White Hart Lane on the weekend, and Punch and volleyed it over the bar.
That's probably the funniest penalty I've ever seen.
It's a good one, wasn't it?
He took it well, though. Yeah. Me on Twitter.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, legal proceedings have been started. Yeah, it was such a bad penalty.
I suppose 1-2-0. And it was good to see Jermaine Defoe scoring a goal.
And Eriksen, he's in a good run of a goal scoring form.
Different for Defoe as he's off in February.
Yeah, though. Fair enough. They're still both scored.
People saying it's a goodbye goal. He's going in February.
At the end of February as well.
It just shows how little people trust him.
And how little he plays.
There you go. Oh, poor old Jermaine.
He's having a lovely time. There's no poor old Jermaine.
He's definitely not poor. Southampton 1, West Brom 0. Pepe Mel is the new man in charge of West Brom.
He wasn't in charge for that game, though, was he?
Well, no, he's the new man in charge
of
West Brom.
In the stands, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's
quite an interesting
character. I just didn't want him to have on his record that he started off with a defeat, because that's not happened yet. I didn't want anyone to misconstrue that.
Alex Ferguson's in the stand quite a lot with a Manchester United jacket on, which I just think should cease. But I think he should be one of those. Was he not this year?
No.
Was he not this week? Right, okay.
And they won, so...
Some people
genuine coincidence.
Some people were surprised that Pepe Mel got the job because he was just sacked by Real Betis, as they are currently bottom of La Liga. But he did. There's a little bit more to it than
he
that.
Got he got him into Europa League, didn't he?
Yeah, he did take the club up from the second division amidst big financial difficulties with a record goals and points tally. And then they did well under him in La Liga. And I think, as you say, they got into the Europa League. And they were struggling big time with the books. And all.
Ever since they signed Danielson.
Yeah, still the knock-on effect
ten
of that.
10-year contract.
Longer ago than that, wouldn't it have been?
Yeah. But Mel was in charge of Betis when they beat Real Madrid, and Mourinho congratulated every Betis player on the pitch when they beat Madrid 1-0. So, he gets a team player. Yeah. He's also wrote a couple of novels. Mm-hmm. One of them is called El Mentiroso, The Liar.
Yeah.
Based on the life and times of Pete Donaldson.
That's a dig.
Yeah.
No,
it's a bit of a gamble,
Harry, of your honour.
Pepe Mel, because he apparently doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Pochettino, and he's doing all right. And I think he's obviously learned English now. He just doesn't like speaking to the press about it, which is fair enough. But it is still a gamble, signing it. I mean, I think West Brom have got a good squad of players, and they're underachieving. But, I mean, God, it's not as though he's signed like an old hand who knows
what you're going to say.
You know what I mean?
How does El Mentiroso mean the liar?
Mentiroso is liar.
Mentiroso is liar.
Mentiroso, yes. Yeah. That's how it means it.
It's just a really long way. I thought Ross was saying
the different languages, Pete.
Yeah.
Just all around the houses, that's all.
Yeah. Well, we've finished around the Premier League houses. Let's go to the Championship. With Leicester City, with the magnificent performance against Derby County. Derby have been great, especially since McLaren took over.
But they got nudged.
How good was the difference? He was amazing. 2 goals, 2 assists. I've seen you put in the running order, Marcus. Yeah. Nugent was lucky with his second.
He was.
I deleted that out of my running order. Because the difference makes his own luck.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Delatt's goal was particularly enjoyable, where he marauded upfield. Nugent just laid it off beautifully to him.
Yeah.
That was a great goal. But what a wonderful performance from Leicester. Vardy scored as well. I had a little look into Vardy's career. He started...
Ascent.
It is really. He was at Stockbridge Park Steels, who currently play in the Premier Division of the Northern Premier League. He left there when he was 23 and signed for Halifax Town, nicknamed the Shaman, which we quite like. They won the aforementioned league, and then he moved to Fleetwood Town, whose nickname I also like, the Cod Army.
Yeah.
And they were in the Conference Premier, so they won that league with him, and then he got a big move to Leicester. So he's now 27, and he's a big chance of playing the Premier League next season.
Is he the only player in professional ranks to have won the Sheffield and Hallamshire Senior Cup, which he won in 2009. Not that long ago.
Someone else has been researching.
Not that long ago. Stockbridge Park Steels beat Brodsworth Welfare in the final. That's amazing.
Welfare?
Yeah.
They've just gone down the job centre and put a team together.
I'm not suggesting they're not good teams. I'm sure they're decent non-league outfits. But, I mean, it's like, as you say, he could be playing the Premier League next season.
Well, Leicester are superb.
His goal record's amazing as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Vardy's dad is called Stuart.
No way.
You could
research that. Jim, anything?
It's not really, I made it up.
No, I've got nothing.
A couple of weeks ago, the Nuge was clearing squirrels off the pitch. He's just an everyman. He can do everything.
Well, you know, differences can be made in many ways.
They can. Exactly.
What I liked about him just clearing the squirrels off, he wasn't really overcommitting himself. He was just going, come on now, let's stop being silly.
And having a laugh.
And they knew to respect him and obey.
Well, he's literally made of nut. Nugent. Nut.
Nugget, yeah. Marcus? Nut.
No, I just thought I'd let him hang himself for a bit. There was
this is like my dink me joke from last week that nobody picked him on.
Oh, don't worry. I have a tenner show. The listeners apparently don't pick up on them either. And there was a spectacular result with Sheffield Wednesday. 6, Leeds United.
Now, call it how it is.
Hit
the worst day of Brian McDermott's life.
Do you know what, right? He
Mark
said...
3.
He's having a terrible time, isn't he? Brian McDermott, he said, in a local derby, it is a public humiliation as far as I'm concerned. That was unbelievable.
Like a public flogging, though, isn't it?
He is.
Like they've been put in the stocks and had football shot past them.
McDermott has... he certainly has the luck of Keegan about him, doesn't he? A very misfortunate
He's got a bit of the sort of worldly, weary sort of type. I mean, Leeds United, if you only listened to Brian McDermott quotes for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you think they're the bottom of the Football League. Yeah? They're 3 points off the playoffs. Yeah. It's not, I know they're in a bad run, but it's not that bad.
But that's the standards he has.
Yeah, I know it's a derby game to a certain extent.
It's a tough job. You should just go back to being a graphic designer in Brighton.
Yeah.
And take the easy life.
Gastronomy as well.
Yes, gastronomy.
To be fair, though, it is a humiliation being beaten 6-0 in a derby. Yeah. So.
Oh, absolutely, of course, yeah. But it's McDermott. When I saw that result, and obviously apologies to Leeds fans, I just thought, I can't wait to hear what McDermott says about this. You know.
Lovely stuff.
I suppose it's better than saying, oh, we were unlucky, you know, and the referee robbed us. Well, you know what I mean?
He's good value. Let's go abroad, where the Ballon d'Or has been announced. It's Ronaldo.
This is deserved.
You will have
the
known
only
this
choice, really.
Yeah, you'll have known this a while ago.
I don't think that's true. I think I would have liked to quite Ribéry win it, yeah. I mean, the best player in the European champions.
It's an individual award, though.
Which means it's nonsense, because football's a team sport. Yeah. So I mean, it's a complete nonsense anyway. But I think Ribéry would have been a fair choice. I mean, listen, Ronaldo's obviously superb, so I'm not going to complain about it.
And he obviously wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, he really
I think
wants
they've
it, yeah.
just given it to him to shut him up.
Yeah.
And maybe renamed it the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Oh, like behind his back.
Like what you did there. But Ribéry didn't open a museum and have a special place for it, though.
No, Ribéry didn't wear that crazy Santa suit that Leo Messi
was
wearing.
Yes, he wore like a red... Almost like... It looked like
reflective Christmas wrapping paper.
It looked a bit to me like the material they make crisps out of. Crisp packets out of. Yeah, really shiny red foily sort of substance. Yeah. Very strange.
He looked like he'd been caught in a fire and somebody just wrapped him in it to keep him warm.
He just ran a marathon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's actually got a history of wearing terrible suits to the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
didn't he wear like a football one last year?
It wasn't good.
Yeah,
maybe that's his kind of superstition. Just find the worst suit you can and wear it and he'll win.
He looked like... When I was at Leicester City, he used to have to serve the pucker pies. Cutting up pork and serving the pies. And red used to mean the curry pie.
Oh, yeah.
The red foil.
Red meant, stop, Mr. Donaldson, get away from her.
Gold was chicken.
Yeah, that's standard, yeah.
Silver was beef.
Yeah.
Beefy.
So I think Messi is filled with delicious curry tonight.
There you go, that's all inside.
And you can't really argue with that kind of logic.
No, you can't.
And we go to La Liga off the back of that, where Atletico Madrid drew 0-0 with Barcelona.
Great result for Real.
It was a good result for Real Madrid, who beat Espanyol 1-0. They moved to 3 points.
It puts them right back in it.
Behind the front, too.
I was really looking forward to watching that match, and then I fell asleep about 5 minutes in and woke up, and there was another match on. I was like, what has happened? Did everyone get tired and go home?
Did everyone change their shirts?
It's an interesting game, because you think of those two teams as being very full of attacking talent, but they didn't really seem anyone there.
It was cagey.
There was no one there who could sort of unlock the door, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think a point actually is still okay for both sides.
I think Atletico will take a lot of heart from that.
Oh, yeah. And Barcelona, they've got a superior goal difference, so they're all right. It's a blooming difficult place to go, the Calderon.
Yeah, Messi came on at half-time, didn't he? And he couldn't really...
Neymar came on as well.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, they're players to bring off the bench, aren't they? God. So if you can't win with them two coming off the bench...
What can you bloody do?
But yeah, Real Madrid really laboured to their win as well. So, I mean, I think they knew that they're going to be under pressure because of whatever happened in that game. And they did sort of, I mean, they beat Espanyol in the 1-0, didn't they, at Espanyol.
Yep.
But they really made hard work of it.
And Espanyol, I think, they're right down the
struggling,
bottom.
Struggling, yeah.
Do Pepe, shaved head or hairy head?
Just let him do what he wants.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Just looks strange with hair.
He does. It looks fake, doesn't it?
It looks like
he's a monster that's been created in a lab haven't quite got the hair right.
He's a man for a mohawk, surely.
I just think he's bald, it just suits him bald. It's like almost, I can't really get used to the Sergio Ramos short hair thing.
Oh, I think he looks better with short hair.
You do, yeah?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
But that's not what I'm used to seeing him.
Yeah, I like the Val Kilmer Ramos. You know where you are in the world with the Val Kilmer Ramos.
Yeah, I suppose you make an excellent point. And one that pushes us on neatly to Serie A.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say... I was just going to say that Espanyol, you know, they made Real Madrid work really hard for it.
They did.
And it's... You think of I suppose this season it's three teams, but you think of Real Madrid and Barcelona being so much better than everyone else. Yeah. I always feel really sorry for Espanyol because of their situation in Barcelona and stuff like that. But they're mid-table, so they're not doing too bad. But I mean, a famous win would have been brilliant for them. Obviously.
I thought they were further down the bottom, but oh well. Serie A, ladies and gentlemen, Milan are mid-table. They're 11th. They got beaten 4-3 off Sassuolo. Juventus will be loving that result because it was a 19-year-old loan from Juventus. Domenico Berardi, who scored 4. He got a haul against the Rossoneri.
The strangest thing for me about that game is that Sassuolo play Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping, when they score.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Particularly bad goal music.
Goodness me.
You're going to choose one.
That is really odd.
Worse than Chelsea Dagger.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And also, the highlights of this I watched had an Arabian commentator, and I heard him describe the haul as a super hat-trick.
Oh, nice.
Brilliant.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that as well. That's a great result for Sassuolo. I think that...
it's phenomenal. Milan went 2-0 up.
Allegri's been fired now, hasn't he?
Allegri has been fired.
I think Allegri got Sassuolo promoted. I think he used to manage them. So it's a bit of a...
Biting the hand that fed them once.
A poetry there. It's been a defeat to them that's caused them to lose his job.
Yeah. I've heard that Clarence Seedorf's abs is going to take...
That's right.
They're going to take over.
Big Clary Seedorf.
Mauro Sassotti's taken over just in the interim.
He's been number two there. He's a classic number two.
I love Sassotti, and he was one of my favourite players when I was young.
Do you like the elbow one? Was it Salinas in the 94 World Cup?
That was on Luis Enrique.
Enrique.
Yeah, apparently, that was a bit out of order. Yeah,
yeah, it was. Yeah,
but I was just going to say one of the facts about Tassotti's career. Yeah, he won 3 European Cups with Milan. Right, 89, 90, 94. Only got 7 international caps. I mean,
that's unreal, isn't it?
It's crazy.
You were going big on this on Twitter, weren't you?
I just think it's...
You were arguing the toss.
I just think it's an amazing stat, you know. Like, Sebastiano Rossi is another one. I mean, the competition for places in Italy in that 90s period, late 80s, 90s period. I mean, Sebastiano Rossi, who I think won 5 league titles as a keeper for Milan. Mm-hmm. I think he might have won a European Cup as well. He's got the record for the longest in Serie A without conceding a goal. And I think he's got the record for penalty saves as well. No caps. Not a single cap.
Yeah, that competition that brought viewing figures to Channel 4. You know, right. There was a reason why people watched it.
I think at some point the authorities thought, you know what we need to do? We need to have more international friendlies because a lot of these players aren't getting any caps. Nothing.
They are very, very decorated players, and it is quite surprising. I mean, you could draw comparisons. Someone like Andy Cole won the Champions League and very successful at Manchester United, and has only got, off the top of my head, 7 or 8.
No, I think he's got 13 caps, Andy Cole. He was tried. He didn't take any chances, did he?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, that Steve Bruce famously didn't get...
Ian Wright always hurt himself before a major competition.
Stuart Downing's got 34 caps.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, it's just not acceptable. What needs to happen is they need to bring these players back, because Tassotti still looks in good shape, right? Get him back. Get him on for the last couple of minutes for a few Italy games. Get Sebastiano Rossi in. Yeah, get him.
And give Luca a cap for thinking of it.
Yeah. Oh, if you insist. If you insist.
Well, there you go. There you go. Juventus, they won again. 11 straight wins puts them 8 points clear. And that's a club record. 11 straight wins. My goodness, they are romping home to the title. Before we go to Pete's game, we've got to mention the lovely scenes in Portugal. Benfica beat Porto 2-0. I think that was the first time they won a league match against their old rivals for the first time in over 4 years. And it was very timely, because obviously Eusebio's death recently, but all the Benfica players had Eusebio on the back of their shirts.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And the win puts Benfica top of the Portuguese league.
Must monster made them feel like kids when they were pretending to be him.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
Well, so obviously worked.
Yeah, yeah. Marvellous stuff. Now it's time for Pete's game.
Yes, it is time for Pete's game. Let me just make me fingerprint work on this bloody phone.
Yeah.
Doesn't work if your finger's a bit wet, apparently.
The listeners will wait, don't worry.
Hello, Danny Brun. Thank you for these clues, my friend. I was born in Milan.
Hey, what's the name of the
game? What's it called?
I didn't give a name last time.
Oh, well, doesn't mean you could lower your mouth.
Jesus Christ, Pete. Terrible precedent.
It's not as though there's not been enough game shows in the world.
Can we even really call this your game anymore?
No.
Have we had you Jim Bett?
What?
I'm giving you a lifeline here. Jim Bett, ex-Aberdeen, Scotland.
The price is Dwight York.
There you go.
All of these have been done, though. That's a problem.
Jim Bett's not been done.
No, definitely not been done.
Yeah, for a reason. All right,
you Jim Bett. Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. All right, we've got that then, Marcus.
Thank
fine,
you.
Good.
Gavin Hoytless. Pointless, probably.
Danny Brown, thank you for this.
See what you do?
I was born in Milan.
Stop. Sebastian Rossi.
Palomino.
Now...
What year?
That's not how the game works.
You don't ask. This is what, you know, my researcher Danny Brunskill has come up with, all right. I started my career at Solbiates. I'm not really sure how to pronounce those.
Stop. Dimitri Albertini.
No.
Stop. Gianluca Vialli.
No.
Stop. An Italian footballer.
Well, Jim, because of his standards...
Don't belittle a game. Pete's game.
Not even Pete's game.
Pete's unnamed game.
Yeah. I have won the European Under-21 Championships.
Stop. Massimo Macaroni.
No.
Stop. Andrea Salenzi.
No.
Stop. Paolo Poggi.
No. In 1996, I signed for Inter.
Stop. Calcio, the mascot from the 1990 World Cup.
No, it was called Ciao.
Ciao, whatever.
Yeah, well, no, it's not right, is it? Even if it is right, you're wrong.
I don't think it's right.
Jim, you're having a terrible piece
of time. I only played for them for one season before signing for Newcastle.
Stop.
Oh no,
I was about to say Gianluca Festa, but it isn't.
Gianluca Festa?
Is it?
There's a future.
Oh, no, I was going to say no, isn't it? No, I've got nothing.
I moved to Everton in 2000 and was there for 7 years.
I know this.
You better get it right.
Because I've got it.
Played only 103
Shut
games.
Shut up, no more clues. You said stop, no, you've got to answer.
There's no point in clues. I know the answer.
Well, you've got to answer. You've said stop, you've got to answer.
Yeah, all right, let me answer.
Stop, Fred Alessandro Pistone.
No, hang on, I was about to say that. Was I?
You weren't.
The point's got to look Miller.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well done. Listen,
you can't stop and have 15 seconds.
No,
stop
you're shouting
and go.
At me.
Think about Paxman University.
I'll shut your noise. Right.
I'm currently a poker player on the Italian circuit. I own a restaurant which specialises in Piadina. I am Alessandro Pistone. Thank you, Danny Brun, for that one.
Thanks, Danny.
Yeah, well done. Let's have some correspondence.
Oh, yes, that's me, isn't it? Okay, so this week, all I went for was what was your highlight? It was such a busy weekend. I thought, what's your highlight of the weekend?
Well, you know mine.
I do know yours. I need to come back and ask you for that. Lewis Robertson came straight in and said, surely Jason Punch's penalty would have shattered any highlights.
Yeah,
nice. Highlights.
Yeah, very good.
That's excellent. Yeah. Strong.
Michael Friel says, finally, we got to see some Joe Kinnear influence at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Hashtag
yeah.
sweary pards.
Good.
Yeah, they can't really tell Pardew off, can they, really? Because.
It's true.
No, exactly.
They hired him.
He's precedent. Got a director of swearing, he's got to use him.
like father, like son.
Yeah.
There's no evidence to suggest that they are following someone. David Furness on the Twitter says, keeping my cool in the Gallagher end when all around me were baying for blood. I'm a changed man, Jane. Come back to me. Scott Belfry, that Villa game... that Villa have a game tonight, so their loss technically won't be part of the weekend's football. Burton says, Charlton carrying on their unbeaten run 2014. I mean, admittedly, it is only the 13th of January.
But it's counts. True, isn't it?
Charlton haven't lost since the 14th of December, apparently.
Yeah.
But there's four games this year so far. Three draws.
But unbeaten, though.
What else have we got here? Lots of shouts for Andy Carroll's erect penis. Apparently he got an erection when he scored.
Oh, bro, the legacy of Steve Lomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big Lomas. Guy. That would probably be quite statuesque.
A lot of shouts for... A lot of shouts for Sheffield Wednesday's famous drubbing of Leeds and Brian McDermott and all that stuff. And we will finish this off by saying, friend of the Ramble, Murray James.
Ah, yes.
Hey.
Hello, Murray.
He tweets in saying, I had a dream in which Marcus Speller made a pyramid of milk bottles and then urinated over them. I'll repeat that. I had a dream in which Marcus Speller made a pyramid of milk bottles and then urinated over them.
Yeah.
I imagine that would have been oddly beautiful.
He came round to see my jam jars previously, so maybe that had an influence on it.
You got anything more to add to that, Mark?
Can you apologise for putting that idea into Murray's head and then in turn?
Will you apologise for friend of the ramble Murray James's subconscious?
I will do, yes, and I shall do.
That's it, that's all we've got.
Marvellous ending to the show.
Lovely.
I think everyone will agree, but I'm not 100% sure. Pete, the game of the weekend.
The game of the weekend, absolute radio. It kicks off at 3 o'clock. It's going to be Arsenal versus Fulham, people. Expect goals.
Anybody else? Any more for any more? No? Okie doke.
Oh, yes, I've got something. I've got betfair.com/footballramble, a free bet of up to £50 if you sign up through that link. So do that. There's lots of interesting odds and opportunities to bet.
We're interesting odds. Yeah. Bet your tits off.
Woo! Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Oh, I haven't done the email address and all that. I'm getting slack. Ooh. See what you do with your game and no lame?
You do and no lame. What?
If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com, where Kelly's been doing marvellous things yet again.
Kelly Wells, you're the best. My little song there.
Okay, say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Someone sat next to me at Old Trafford having to leave early because he had tickets to Warhorse that he accidentally booked for the afternoon.
Ah.
That's from Ed Barber. I missed that out, and I promised him I'd put it in there. Goodbye.
And fair goodbye enough. From you, Jim.
More Pitbull, please.
Yeah, shout out your noises.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.